We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Annie Fry, host of the Annie Fry Show, joining us. And it's been, it seems like it's only been a few hours since we were on Facebook together. Annie, how are you?
Yeah, I commend you guys for being able to be up and do this sprightly in the morning. It's not easy for everybody to do, but you guys are doing it very well. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Driven by caffeine. You know, I want to point out, I was looking this morning for polls, what people, who people thought won the debate, who they, if they thought it changed any minds. You look at CNN, they thought, of course, Biden won the debate. Lots of conservative websites think Trump won the debate. The thing that they have in common is that neither of them seem to think it changed any minds that were already made up of who they were going to vote for. What's your take on that?
You know, I don't know how you can not have an opinion on these two guys. Although I will tell you that, I think it was on Laura Ingraham's show last night after the debate got over, they had a focus group of sorts, and there was a woman who was from Ohio. She was an African-American lady. I think I would qualify her as a senior citizen. I hope that that's the right qualification. If not, my apologies. She seemed like she was probably in her 60s, and she was identified as a Biden voter. At the end of the night, when they asked who won this debate, everybody else picked their respective, you know, horse in the race that you would expect them to pick, and she just didn't vote, and they called her out, and they're like, you know, you got to pick somebody. Who do you think it was? And as a Biden voter there, her words were, you know what? If you're talking about meeting expectations, her name was Sadie. If you're talking about meeting expectations, she goes, now granted, the expectations were set pretty low. The president was pretty impressive, and I'd have to say that he won. I think that there are women out there who saw a collected, dare I say, presidential version of Donald Trump last night. And as the contrast continues to come to light about Joe Biden's capabilities, I think the idea of a mute button was in Donald Trump's favor last night, because Joe Biden had to put together a cogent thought and do it over the course of 2 minutes time. And I think it showed that he's not, you know, he doesn't have his fastball like he used to. And it's obvious. And you know, it's not to say that there's anything wrong with that in life, but if you want to be the president of the United States, I'm sorry, you got to have your fastball. And it's got to be good.
Yes.
Joe Biden isn't good. And I think that last night Donald Trump showed what he's capable of, which is an incredible command of the facts and a presentation that was palatable for anybody. I had Democrat friends texting me, where's this guy been this whole time? Is he going to change a bunch of votes? No, but I think he might have convinced people that the worst thing in the world might not be that Donald Trump gets reelected again. And for the people who haven't voted yet, I haven't voted yet. My mind is made up, but for there are a lot of people who haven't cast their ballots yet. He might have proven to people that Donald Trump may not be as bad as every, you know, mainstream media outlet has proven him to be. And you know, maybe that does change a few votes. Yeah. I don't think Joe Biden did a single thing to earn a new voter that he didn't have last night, for sure.
I love that point. I'm laughing because earlier this morning, the three of us were talking about it here. And I said, here's what I think. I've got a friend who is a female, roughly my age, who each time we get together to talk about this, she tells me, I want to vote for Donald Trump, and then he opens his mouth. And after the last debate, she was livid. Well, why couldn't he shut up? Why couldn't he try to make this palatable? I think that's a great word for it, Annie. Where's this guy been? There he was last night. So this close to the debate, that performance, I think, gives the green light to people who were waiting to see that version of Donald Trump to justify their feelings. They support his policies far more than they support what Joe Biden wants to do to the country. But many of them were turned off by some of the other things that he does and says. And last night they got the dose of Donald Trump that I think many of them will need. Many of them suburban housewives to go into the voting booth and know which way they have to vote.
He's like that. I don't know. Maybe you'll understand this, Mark. Maybe I think Denise and Trisha might relate even a little bit more. But it's like when your very best friend that you've loved your whole life marries somebody, and you want to like them. You want to be like, you're married to my best friend, and I want to hang out with you, and I want you and, you know, the four of us, my spouse and your spouse, to all hang out together, and I just want it to be good and pleasant. But the guy's kind of nuts sometimes, and you go out, and when you go out, it's like at some point you're like, I can't stand a whole night hanging out with this guy. I can't do it. But you want to, because you love your friend, you know, more than life itself. You want to like him. And you want to be able to have that relationship where it's not complicated. You're rooting for him. And every once in a while, it just becomes too difficult. I'll say that that part of Donald Trump's presidency is on Donald Trump, because he's the one who's in the driver's seat about that part of him that he knows isn't for everybody. It's not what he's doing as the president. Is for everybody. And that message gets lost when he doesn't deliver that, you know, because his personality gets in the way. But I want to add to that, to anybody who's listening right now who feels like your friend does, I understand that trepidation over Donald Trump. But you got to remember one thing. You got to ask yourself, why was he like that last night? And why was he not like that the first debate, or maybe any other time that you've seen him where you felt like he was just too much to swallow, or he was the husband of your best friend that was just like, you've got to be kidding me right now. He is under siege every single day. He hasn't had a single day in office where he doesn't have a media that's actively trying to remove him from office, only because, this is the truth, folks, those policies that your friend holds dear to, these people in the media and these leftists, like Mr. Disinformation himself, Adam Schiff, in the House of Representatives, they hate you. They hate your policies, and he embodies those policies, and he is fearless. He doesn't play by their rules. He doesn't play by some unwritten script in Washington, D.C., that when you get there, you get cloaked in this way of doing things. We like to call it the swamp. He doesn't go by that, and it irritates the hell out of these individuals, and they don't know what to do about it, so they flail, and they make stuff up, and when they make stuff up, the media runs with it. The media is practicing journalistic malfeasance on a daily basis. They've been doing it since before he was elected. And when you take all of that into consideration, if you've ever had a loved one be unfairly picked on or unfairly, you know, pressured at work or something like that, if you've ever had to watch a loved one have to fight without choice, an unfair fight, you start to understand a little bit of the attitude and the mentality that goes behind it. That's Donald Trump. And he's actually willfully running for re-election to take on four more years of this crap for us. So while the attitude and the personality is a lot to take from time to time, if you understand it, it makes a little more sense. And when you see a performance like last night, which I couldn't believe the amount of restraint he was showing from time to time, you realize what he's willing to do for this country, what he's willing to do for you, that really means something. At least it does to me.
Yeah, mark the tape. I'm sending that off to my friend, by the way, at the end
of
the show, Annie.
Yeah, do that.
Thank you. Speaking of media malfeasance, let's bring up Tony Bobulinski. I want to play what I think was probably the most powerful thing he said during his news conference prior to the debate last night.
I'm making the statement to set the record straight about the involvement of the Biden family. Vice President Biden, his brother Jim Biden, and his son Hunter Biden in dealings with the Chinese. I've heard Joe Biden say that he's never discussed business with Hunter. That is false. I have firsthand knowledge about this because I directly dealt with the Biden family, including Joe Biden.
So Tony Bobulinski, career Navy man, lieutenant, retired, who was the CFO of this foreign Chinese company that was put together by Hunter Biden and his uncle and some other people, is standing up speaking from the heart as a firsthand witness to the fact that Joe Biden had full knowledge of what Hunter Biden was doing and knew that his family would be enriched as a result of it. Now, given the meeting this guy had was post-office holding time for Joe Biden, so it was beyond his vice presidency. It was in 2017. But the discussion started when Joe Biden was still vice president of the United States, and this guy says he should have known that his name and his reputation were being sold for influence to the Chinese communist government. No major media outlet in America covered this except Fox. That's journalistic malpractice.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also say, while there's a difference between it happening in 2017 or maybe in, 2009 through 17, when he would technically still be the vice president, at least for the first few weeks of January. At what point did Joe Biden know he was going to run for president? This stinks of what we saw with Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. After Hillary Clinton lost her campaign for presidency in 2016, there were an enormous amount of her investments throughout the course of the world just dried up.
Right.
For some reason or other, she was less valuable when she didn't become the president of the United States. I highly encourage people to pay very close attention to these emails that are coming out. There are so many different paths right now. It's hard to keep separate the difference between Rudy Giuliani's hard drive and Bevin Cooney's email account that he turned over to Peter Schweitzer, and what now we have from this Bobulinski guy who has firsthand knowledge of working with these people. Everything is pointing towards corruption right now. And, I don't think they've got the case made in court to convict Joe Biden quite yet. But the heaping mount of steaming evidence that's surrounding something that's really, really unsavory is more than they ever had when they tried to impeach the president with the Mueller probe. And then when they actually impeached the president in this year over what really would have benefited from a Hunter Biden testimony. If the FBI had the laptop that they are said to have had in the end of 2019, if that conversation would have been had at the beginning of January, and we wouldn't have had to have listened to Adam Schiff repeat over and over and over. He really loved whistleblowers at the beginning of the year, and now he's not so interested in this Bobulinski character. If we would have had that, it dug into that at the beginning of the year, think about the difference of this race. Probably last night it would have been Bernie Sanders on the stage, because I think the corruption would have been outed then. But that's not what they wanted, and we got to listen to Adam Schiff stand on Capitol Hill and say that they had to take care of this now because he couldn't trust it to the voters in November. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting. Annie, I know this morning I put out my Missouri 2020 general election voters guide to kind of help steer people on some of the important issues and statewide amendments and things like that that are going on over here. Your Illinois voter guide is available too now, correct?
Yep, it's been out this week, and I've had a lot of people saying, Andy, what do you think about stuff from Missouri? And I said, Mark's going to put one together, and I advise you to look at that one. So that's fantastic. I'll have to check it out. We'll have mine pinned to the top of our Facebook page. You can go check it out there. I can't stress enough how much you need to vote no on this unfair tax that is on the ballots. It's going to be the constitutional amendment that's listed there for the state. The wording is a garbled bunch of a mess. But the progressive income tax is drastically dangerous for the taxpayers of Illinois. You need to definitely vote no on that. And please, please, please consider voting for Katie Stewart, who is the Democrat-placed Madigan minion in the 112th. Her her opponent is Lisa Schiampoli, and Amy Ehlich is the one trying to take on Monica Bristow in the 111th. I've got the rest of them listed there, but the Illinois State House is the best way to take it straight to Mike Madigan, and we got to vote red. We got to flip some of these seats from blue to red. So vote for Lisa Schiampoli or Amy Ehlich, or find out who's in your House district and support the Republican there. It's necessary.
Good to know. We got you covered on both sides of the river. Annie will be listening today at noon. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon. Annie Fry there. Check out the voter guide. We've got it on the web, 971talk.com/Cox. We've got it on the Facebook page there. You can check it out. It's easy to find. And, of course, if you're looking for the Illinois side of things, Annie's got that up on her Facebook page as well. Check that out. Quick break here. We're going to get to Stacey on the right coming up. Can't wait to hear her reaction to the debate and the latest on this county executive race in St. Louis County. We'll be right back.